Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We all know our programming here is brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Dennis Colatos will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 and kind of getting into the good part of this, right? Like I've gone fishing now, then, since the last time we got together, right? I've been to a golf tournament, like an honest to God PGA thing at Caves since the last time we got together. And we had a running back rip his knee up. We beat the snot out of the Redskins. I'm having lunch with the governor. Maybe this is where they present the governor's cup because we always beat the Washington football team then.
Yeah, you have a lot of stuff going on. For me, I just came back from Dallas, had a fabulous dinner at Nick and Sam's Steakhouse. You talk about an event and no crab cakes. So not at the steakhouse in Dallas. Wouldn't trust crab cakes there, but I did trust the meat. But watch some golf and like you, watch some football. Lots to talk about.
Well, let's start with football. Okay. I mean, the golf thing, that's gonna come and go, but the Dobbins thing for all of us who are now connected to this, right? Like I'm looking at the clock. Oh, look at that Raiders game. I better get my room. Better figure it. We're up on it now. I'm getting on a plane, putting the mask on. We're going out there and playing a real game. And the season's going to happen real fast. You know, first 6 days is going to happen real, real fast when the Chiefs come in here. And I don't want to say, are they ready to play? Because you saw the defense and you saw what that's going to be or what we think that's going to be. And as Ravens fans, that sort of harkens back to the Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed sort of lineage of this whole thing. But we have no bet on what the offense is right now other than Lamar's Lamar. But the line, the wide receivers, the running game, this is going to be a different kind of party in Vegas in 2 weeks.
I tell you what, Nestor, they have some depth, and the question is J.K. Dobbins' replacement already on the roster? Is it Justice Hill? Is it Nate McCrary? Tyson Williams has won the backup spot now to the starter Gus Edwards. Do they go after Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell all over the Twitter, right? So there's all these names being thrown around. But to me, the biggest thing is Tyler Huntley. I think he has acquitted himself well. His arm seems to me better than Lamar's at this point. And what I like about him is he spreads the ball around. He doesn't have target fixation. He doesn't look for Mark Andrews on every play. He's spreading that ball around. And I'm telling you, if I'm in Lamar Jackson's group of advisors, I'm telling him you better get to Costa on the phone and sign that contract sooner rather than later.
Well, I don't know where the contract thing is. And it's not like the Ravens to be negotiating in season, although they signed Chris McAllister in season. They signed Ronnie Stanley in season. So I don't know how that happens behind the scenes. But I think on a week-by-week basis, when you see what happened to the running back at 6:15 in the evening on a Friday, when most people, I mean, out on Twitter, Dennis, I don't know that anybody was watching the game. I don't know that people knew it was going on. I had forgotten it was going on. I happened to be in a restaurant in Frederick early enough. And I said to my wife, it was really strange, like serendipity has kicked in lots of different ways on this tour. But I looked over her shoulder. I'm like, I'm so fixated on the television over your shoulder because this restaurant we were in, the tasting room. By the way, Frederick's very nice, Dennis. I'm sure some people drive in from Frederick to buy cars from you. Absolutely. Frederick is I was blown away by how nice Frederick was. I just had never been there. And we had this beautiful night, and the Little League World Series was on over my wife's shoulder the whole time I'm having the crab cake. And it was this beautiful picture and these kids and like all that. And I said, they must have won the championship because they're taking pictures and like all that. And then Sandusky pops up, and there's Rod Woodson, and there's Mike Nolan. And I'm like, honey, it's 5:45. Like, how can this be happening? But that's where they've tried to take this preseason thing, right? And to get this over with, to have this week off, to get their cuts together, and hopefully to get, like, some real practices in here before this Raiders game, because I'm interested to see the game plan offensively and what Greg Roman would like to do against the Raiders and what he's going to be able to confidently do by 2 weeks from Monday.
Yeah, it's just all great questions is how they attack the Raiders. You mentioned we have real football going on, the offensive line. Will they be able to gel in time? What impact does Dobbins? No, there's no question that they're a better team with Dobbins than without Dobbins, but this is a team that still has, I think, the fifth best odds to get to the Super Bowl, even without a player of J.K. Dobbins' stature. But they're very deep at every position, including running back. And again, I'm just very curious to see which direction they're going to go with replacing him.
Dennis Colazzo is our guest. You can find him at The Colazzo Show out on Twitter and social media. Always here on Thursday from 3 until 5, but then comes back to you on Sunday morning to get you ready for most games that we play at 1 o'clock on Sundays. You can find it at AM 1570, of course, out at BaltimorePositive.com as well. Last thing on the Ravens, and we'll continue on the golf because there's so much going on. Defensively, I want to buy what they're selling, beating the snot out of the Redskins and running second team guys out that beat third team guys. Like, I hear all of that. I love deep depth. I love the veteran leadership if it stays healthy, right? And Campbell, I love that Eric DaCosta isn't letting – man, as I said to Luke, they use all of the cow. You know what I mean? Like, that dealing fifth-round picks for seventh-round futures and, like, all of the stuff that they do on a daily basis and making deals for six-round picks over the weekend with guys they don't even want, guys they don't even need depth-wise. This is a nice little time where they pick up these draft picks, and we go back and celebrate that every April. But, I mean, Belichick's dealing away 23 draft picks to Eric DaCosta. I'm thinking – Belichick's not thinking he's going to make that fifth round pick in 23.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know about all that. Sean Wade, fifth round draft pick out of Ohio State, he wasn't going to make the team anyway. So I applaud DaCosta for getting a fifth and a seventh for him. And Chris Westry, the 6'4" cornerback free agent, has outplayed him. And to see the guy on the field, Westry, at 6'4" with his dimensions playing real well, look, it's a welcome sight. You have to trust what they do. Bill Belichick has struck out a lot the last several years. And when you look at his draft picks, they haven't all panned out, which is why the Patriots took a big step back, particularly with the departure of one Tom Brady. So he's a general manager and a head coach, and his drafting record has been suspect, Nestor.
Well, we talk twice a week, and I'll do more football with you next week, because when we get into next week, I really want to try to figure out who's going to be good and who's not. Like, my wife's trying to book a vacation with her sister to go hiking, and I'm thinking Colts, Chargers, Bengals, we play them in that order. Those are she's leaving. I have these tickets, like the whole deal, okay. Right? So I'm thinking, are they good teams or are they bad? Feels to me like the Colts and the Chargers could be good teams. And I don't know about the Bengals because they're the Bengals, but I think that kid can play. I'm trying to figure out who else is going to be good. You know, I spent the whole week last week out in Western Maryland, and, you know, I wore my Ravens face mask everywhere in Western Maryland because
there's a
lot of like Steelers going on.
Yinzers are up there.
A lot of West Virginia University going on out in Oakland, sure. Maryland, and Cumberland, Maryland, and Frostburg, Maryland. So I kind of rubbed it in a little bit. And I was out in Frederick when we played the Redskins the other night. So and that's sort of Redskins country, Hagerstown, sort of this mixed bag of all of this stuff. But all the Steelers fans were like, boy, Browns look good. Browns, because they don't want to admit, right? But the Steelers fans are of the mindset that they might not be any good. And I don't ever throw the towel in on the Steelers. I just don't. And but also these other upstart teams, the Jaguars with their quarterback now and their miracle coach, their ball coach. I don't know where the better teams are, but I do feel like the Ravens, as you said, fifth choice or wherever they are, we should feel good about that. And I think the Dobbins thing takes away from that, but it hasn't been a great summer for the Ravens. I mean, offensively, for what they've tried to accomplish, to see it out on the field, if they're 3-1 or 4-0 or 5-1, and that's where we are in October, fine. But until then, I reserve the right to be skeptical, at least about the offense and what they're trying to do. And I'm sure there's skepticism in all these other places, but there's also optimism in places where they haven't had optimism before.
Yeah, you know what? You have to be encouraged by what you saw by the Ravens defense, as you mentioned earlier in our segment. For all the shiny new toys they've given Lamar Jackson on the offensive side of the ball, Wink Martindale and that defense, that's a proven commodity. They're deep. And as you mentioned, if these older guys can manage to stay healthy, they can do a lot of damage. As far as the Bengals, this kid, Jamar Chase, has a case of the dropsies. They should have taken that offensive tackle, Panay Sewell. You know, you got to keep your quarterback upright. We remember what happened to Kelly Smith many years ago, right? So they do things backwards. The Browns,
and David Klingler.
You named it. We've been through this exercise many times before, Nestor. And I'm watching the Browns versus the Falcons, and I'm seeing Baker Mayfield get his balls batted down twice in one drive. So until further notice, this division comes down to the Steelers, and to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Colts depend on what they do at quarterback. Does Carson Wentz play? But, the guy over at the Rams, the new quarterback from Detroit.
What were the old quarterback, Stafford?
Yeah, Stafford. There you go. You know, he's got a cannon of an arm, and he's got a quarterback whisperer as a head coach, and they should make some noise. They also have the number one ranked defense in the league in terms of giving up points, led by Aaron Donald. So that they should be a very good team.
Well, it's interesting you'd say this, because I had a flight to Vegas on Saturday to go out there. The rooms are outrageous. Wearing a mask everywhere in casinos and whatnot. I mean, I've been wearing a mask for 30. I don't mind wearing a mask. I'm good with it. I just don't want to spend $300 a night to do it in Vegas. It's not the Vegas I'm choosing and I'm going out anyway for the game. So I moved my flight and I moved it into Sunday, and I was trying to figure out what games would be on, like, the flight out there, if I watch Sunday night football on the way out there, which is what I'm going to do. It's Bears Rams. And I thought, that's not such a great game. You know what I mean? Like, for me to miss that game or whatever, be in a casino, and I'm not a gambler anyway, so I'm not going to be betting action on the 1 o'clock games or whatever, but I like the vibe of it and all that. I'm just sort of abstaining a little bit and going out there. But I was thinking about all these games, like, how's Buffalo going to be? How's Pittsburgh going to be? What teams do we have to worry about? And I think that that's the fun part of this part of the year, to try to figure out who's going to be good. And I think we're going to be good. I mean, it's part of being a Ravens fan that's joyous, because you have the other side of that where nobody was talking Orioles with me out at the golf tournament on Sunday, Dan, you know?
No, absolutely. Another fun thing I did this weekend, Nestor, I participated in a live fantasy football draft, which was a first for me.
Before or after the Dobbins injury?
This was after. In fact, somebody picked up Dobbins, and I'm thinking, obviously, even watching. You're not paying attention, but somebody picked them up very high. And I thought, this person just doesn't take it seriously enough. So I was very excited to participate in a live draft. It'll help keep me on top of injuries, if nothing else, for this year.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody picked J.K. Dobbins after he reached for his knee.
He did. This was a night. We did it Sunday night. So this was the night after he got injured. So, you know, it was already out there that he would miss the season with a torn ACL.
We had already sent the WNST text brought to you by Corey Ford.
I saw that. Exactly. So, you know, had he been a WNST subscriber, he would have had he would have been one up at least on the fantasy football.
Well, maybe you could trade him in for Gus Edwards, or did you already take Gus?
I didn't take Gus. Somebody took Gus before I had a chance to take him.
Luke and I were discussing that as well on the show. All right, then let's change the topic. Let's go to golf, okay? Because we've had a lot of sports. People say, you don't talk enough sports right now. I'm like, the Orioles don't play enough baseball for me to talk sports all day. And we haven't played a football game in 8 months. And I ran into Bills fans out on the golf course. My friend Jody burst over. Yeah, nice. I wasn't real happy with her. I said, don't be hugging me. Elbows, your Bills, you know, last I checked, you knocked our team out of the. I remember when the Bills used to just roll over, you know. The golf tournament, I didn't plan to go because I had this crab cake tour. Like, and originally the crab cake tour was slated to be in July, because that's like slower for me. There's no football. All the crab people told me to go in August, and the real gift of going in August, and I found this out in Western Maryland last week. Dennis, our state is so beautiful. Like, I raved about the Eastern Shore, but then I got out to Antietam and I got out to the mountains and I went to Savage River and I went fishing in Westernport, right next to, are you ready? Luke, Maryland. Right next to Luke, Maryland, Westernport, Maryland, on the West Virginia, on the border there. So I did some fishing. So I golfed and I fished. I mean, all the things that you love to do, all the things that old people do. And I went out to the golf tournament on Sunday, because Saturday night we wrapped up. I had every county. The governor committed to having lunch on Monday. I wanted to come home early. And I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning Sunday, getting all my work done. My bags are, my laundry's done. I'm home. And I'm like, man, it's a PGA like final in Baltimore, 12 miles away. I text John Maroon. He's been a friend of mine for 30 years. He's involved. He said, nah, I'll get over to the PGA. We'll figure it out. I went up. I spent the whole day walking the hills, 18, 1, 2, 14, 10, the bottom of the hill, 17, running into friends, sponsors, Baltimore people. A little overview in your world. You're a golfer. You sell cars. You know a lot of people. I had a lot of people out there at some point. Some of them were not as comfortable as I was. Because if you were out there on Wednesday and Thursday, apparently it was blazing in Deep Creek, you know, Wednesday and Thursday. But Sunday, it was very, very, it was shaded. It was beautiful. The beer was cold. The crowd was very, very golf centric, really, really into the tour. It was like being at an old Oriole game where everybody's quiet watching every pitch. It was very quiet. I was the loud one. I really enjoyed it. It's the first time I've walked a golf course during a tournament since 1989, when Jack Gibbons sent me to New Jersey to cover the LPGA Championship. How about that?
Hey, that's awesome stuff. And look, it was a fantastic event for this, for Baltimore and Smaltimore, as we like to call it. I'm sure you saw a lot of friends on that golf course, and it was compelling golf. The finish was amazing. I happened to watch it with some non-golf fans, and they were riveted. They had some place to go, but they stayed to watch the extra six holes.
Well, DeChambeau's like Ric Flair, right?
Oh,
like,
God, it's crazy.
I mean, there's a very – he's truly walks the rope of good guy, bad guy, and emotions for fans. And when the ball lips out, right? I mean,
oh, it's crazy, but it just brought back to mind the old golf adage. You drive for show and you putt for dough, and Cantlay definitely hitting 24 and 23 footers. Are you kidding me? It was just a phenomenal finish, and also a $700,000 difference between first place and second place. Let's not forget that.
The first time he sunk the 20 footer and it like to basically force the, I mean, you know, birdie bogey on the last hole.
Crazy.
He sinks it. And I'm thinking to myself, I should have played old pro with my wife down Ocean City 2 weeks ago. She wanted to play, and then it got raining. And I'm thinking it made me want to putt.
Yeah, you just saw it, though, right then and there, with the importance of having a reliable putter and somebody with that reliable stroke. And, you know, it was like watching David versus Goliath. You know, the dimensions of DeChambeau versus Cantlay was the contrast was there. That golf tournament had everything you'd ever want, and that's the reason why we watch.
So I'm not starstruck, right? I mean, you know this, and I'm not a golf guy. So my dear friend Mike Moeller put a picture up that was like this once-in-a-lifetime shot with some white guy with a hat that looked like a golfer, you know? And I'm thinking, is that Spieth? I wouldn't know him if he sat next to me. Literally, if he sat next to me on a plane, he would say, hi, you know, I'd be like, oh, hi, how are you? You know, like, I don't know these guys. But I pulled up to the course, and he was coming off because it was like noon. I mean, they went out early. There were people out there at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday playing final round. And I got out there, he was coming off, and I saw him, and people were signing balls, and the kids were so happy. And like, he wasn't happy because he didn't play well. But, and then I turned the corner, and tee time was 1:44 for the leaders. And this was like 12:30, quarter to one. And I went up to get my media credential and the air conditioning. I got a bottle of water and trying to figure, I've never covered a golf event. I don't even know. I mean, I know you don't really cover it because like, and I said to my wife that, and I want to share this with you being a sports guy. I have a great seat at Ravens games. I have a great seat at Ravens games because it's where the film is. I like watching the game. If I'm there and I'm paying to be there in that way, not at a horse race, but if I'm at a Terps game, I'm watching the game. If I'm at a Ravens game, I'm watching the game. You know, like I want to watch the game. The really freaky part about golf for me is if I really cared about it, I wouldn't go to the, if you can't see, you don't see. It's like being at Merriweather, but not even on the lawn, like outside over at the mall. You hear it, but you don't know it. And knowing who the leaders are, like it's a social event, but being out there and being close to the players in a way that, And I'll bring this back to you because this will be fun for you. When I went down to the wrestling matches when I was a kid, after watching those guys on television every week, it was so larger than life. And the colors of golf and the way that they wear the shoes and like all of that. I turned the corner up at the top. I'm at Caves. I'm there 5 minutes, right? I had a bunch of kids not wearing masks on the bus, being jerks. I get up to the top, you know, bro drinker kids, right? I get up to the top. I get out. I get my pass. I turn the corner. I look down the hill. It's like one of the most beautiful things. And my wife and I have had meals at Caves. We've been invited there. I've been on the grounds before. I'm not a golfer. But I look down and the little practice putting green, I look down and I recognize one golfer, the guy with the little daddy-o hat, the blue and the red. I'm like, oh, that's DeChambeau. That's him. He's putting. He's 15 feet away from me. And it's a little cordoned off. And I got a press pass. And I don't know where I'm allowed to go. Where I mean, I'm literally, this isn't a football game or a baseball game where I sort of know the rules. I applied for it 3 hours earlier. I showed up. I don't want to get thrown out. But I'm there and I'm close enough to like take a picture and a selfie. And I thought, the bad guy. I'm going to put the whammy on him. So I felt the little voodoo doll. So I took the picture of him. And damn if it wasn't his putting that crushed him 7 hours later.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun, Nestor. And I've had the pleasure and privilege of playing Caves several times. It's a wonderful course. And that's the nice thing is you can actually play on the same courses that these professional golfers
play. So when you watch
play,
18 be played seven times, you played that hole.
I've been in the water seven times myself, so I understand. You know, I if there's water, my ball is founded on that course. It's very
difficult. One of the guys went into the water, and I was at the top of 18, and I don't know one golfer from it. I mean, it's don't, right? He jumped the water, and the crowd gave him like a standing O, you know, because he was like checking his line. But the weird thing that happened, and this is on me, I wasn't like I could have taken a selfie with Spieth because I was close. You know, like I didn't think to look for Phil Mickelson. You know, like I went out, I spent 4 hours, I saw people, I walked 5 miles up and down the hill. Yeah. I didn't watch a lot of golf because all you can see is a shot guy, and then you walk and see a shot from a guy. It's not really as spectacular in that way. It's cool to be there, but if you want to watch the tournament, television's the way to do it.
Yeah, one of my guys went there, and he said the same exact thing that you said, because I've never walked a golf tournament in my life, and so he said the same thing. He was there for 4 or 5 hours. He said, Dennis, I couldn't see much. I couldn't follow it. He went home and watched it on TV and had a blast watching it at home, so I understand what you're talking about.
No, I mean, just as a guy, and I didn't care who – I was just there for the – I was just there, and I was one of the very – very, very few people there who didn't know who Jordan Spieth. You know what I mean? Like, I just, these were hardcore golf people. You know, this would be like at a football game and like, which one's Tom Brady? Like, what are you doing here? You know, there's a little bit of that. And it's not inclusive. There's nothing out there that feels like we're going to make you love golf. It's more like stand over there, pay $16 for a beer, walk down the hall. Maybe you get a look at it. I mean, it wasn't a recruitment technique, but it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful thing. And I think people that love golf, and people said it was a great day for Baltimore. Baltimore people came out. I think the region came out. You know, I would say there were definitely Baltimore people. There was big money being spent from sponsors that used to spend money with the Orioles, quite frankly. I mean, all the people that used to have opening day boxes were the ones at this golf tournament, and that's cool. And it's something that I think brought golf people. If you love golf, I guess my point would be the larger than life part. For me, I walked out at one point and there was a big, big guy golfing and a little guy with him. And I looked at him like, and I heard, Sergio, Sergio. I'm like, oh, that's Garcia. Look at that. So I had pictures and I was really close. I mean, after second shot, I was down like on the, I was 15 feet away from John Rahm and Sergio Garcia. I took some pictures. Yeah. I had a great day. I don't want to urinate on it for people that like thought it was the greatest weekend ever. I think it was like that. I mean, I talk about the World Cup. I talk about significant things being happening here and the Keith Urban thing where the game didn't happen. This was a real thing that they pulled off flawlessly with weather, an incredible championship, a beautiful sight. Everybody that went raved about it. I mean, Grand Slam doesn't do it justice for me, Dennis. It was really amazing.
Well, they're amazing athletes and amazing professionals, Nestor. I've played that course several times. I've never broke 90. And just to watch what they did to that course, how they humbled it, they're on a whole different level than I am, man. It's just not even close.
It's hilly.
Well, tell me about your fishing. Tell me about – I need to hear about your fishing trip.
Okay, all right. So Dan Rodericks is my lifer friend, all right? So Dan was like a – uncle to me when he was on television in the 80s. He used to take me out for a sandwich once a year, pet me on the head, tell me I could be a great reporter, and encourage me. He's a very encouraging person. So I've known Dan forever. And, you know, when I considered running for mayor, I talked to Dan at length. I mean, Dan's one of those guys. So I told him I was doing this tour. I said, look, I want to fly fish. And he's like, why me? You know, why do I have to? So his son is a legitimate guide, and his son blew his ACL 4 weeks ago. So Dan's like, all right, I'm the guide. I'm not really a guide, but I'll be a guide. So we met in Western Port, Maryland, down Route 36. And how about this, Dan? Driving down Route 36, and I told Luke this story. My wife's like, you just missed the sign. Get your head out of your phone. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out where we're going, and there's no Wi-Fi, which is going to be an issue with the governor. I'm going to continue to talk about there were no bars in most of the state of Maryland. Then I'm being really honest with you. Most places I went, I couldn't send a text. Not just in Western Maryland, Eastern Shore. Just Southern Maryland.
Well, that might be by design. Those folks out there maybe don't want bars. Maybe that's why they're living organically, organically and under the radar.
Yeah, well, information, real information would travel better to them, I think, if they had bars. But nonetheless, so we're on our way down, and my wife's like, there's some famous baseball player from here. I just saw the sign. Lefty something. And she gave me the wrong last name because she didn't see it. She was just driving. I'm thinking Lefty, like Lefty.
There's only one Lefty that we know of.
Yeah, so I'm going down, and sure enough, there's this giant, beautiful park, Lefty Grove Park, that overlooks a hill with a statue and a ballpark. And it's like she hit the brake, and we had to turn around. It's called Lona Coney, L-O-N-A-C-O-N-I-N-G. It's on 36 out of Frostburg. If you go south, straight down to the valley to where West Virginia and Maryland, the reason it's so freakily divided, it's just the river. It's the Potomac River that divides the state in a really weird way. Like, did you know where Hancock is? There's 1 mile of Maryland. And my wife made a wrong turn and actually went into Pennsylvania. So, okay. You know, Pennsylvania and West Virginia have 1 mile at Hancock where you make that turn to go to Breezewood, you know? So I'm learning about the terrain and the land and Lefty Grove and baseball following me down there. We get down, we put in next to a railroad track, and you have to know something about fishing because, like, this beautiful, crazy river is 5 feet from the train tracks, but Roderick knows about it. He knows where the rocks are. He's got shoes. He's got the little pole to get us out. I sat my ass on a rock, and 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, pew, out there, right? Fly falls. You want to get the fly up river to have the fly way down the river and have the fish come up and grab the fly, right? We caught one fish. It was a little rainbow trout. Dan caught it. We had the best day. Dan fell in love with my wife. They're fishing. Eric came with his son, Joey. I'm up the river. They caught three fish. I'm sitting there with my back. All I could think about was I should have taken some more beer. You know, I'm thinking that I should have brought some sandwiches. You know what I mean? Like because I didn't want to leave. And Dan came out, was so disappointed because we didn't catch fish. He's like, I got to go. I've been up all night. I just got to go. Like, I know you guys want to catch fish. I got to go. And I'm like,
how long were you out there?
3.5 hours.
That's not bad. Yeah, I'm like an all day kind of a guy. I'm early in the morning to all day into the dusk hours. I mean,
Eric and Joey were having so much fun. They stayed. And then Eric was going to meet us in Hagerstown for Crag Peak, but his kid fell asleep in the car. And he's like, he lives in Bel Air. So he drove all the way out, fished all day, and then drove all the way back, which is 2.5 hours, you know, whatever. Dennis, I'm going to say this to the governor, and I know your time is short, and I'll get together with you on Thursday, and we will have talked to the governor, and we'll preview the Ravens and whatever else is going on in the world college football. So many beautiful places you could get into a Ford, out of Coons, get into that Bronco, buy one, and drive. Rocky Gap is beautiful. Deep Creek is beautiful. We went to a place called Swallow Falls with these waterfalls 10 minutes away from Deep Creek. And I thought like I was going to have to go through brush and have a machete and have a guide. No, it's just a trail, man. You park the car, nice. You walk around the trail, you go down to the rocks, little children, little 4-year-old girls frolicking in the water and the falls. Maryland, it's just beautiful. And that's something that I had to go experience to really see and feel. And I think going in August and seeing these beautiful green rolling hills, I went up the Hunt Valley to get my wife's like, if you're going to go to the golf tournament, get some peach cake at Simon's. So I went up to Cockeysville and I drove across Shawan Road. And this is day 29 of the tour. I'm going to a golf tournament. It's a part of the world. I drove past Ripken's house, Tufton, Dover Road, all of that. You've driven that road. We've all driven that road past Oregon Grill, like all of that, right? After driving the whole state for 28 days in every direction you could imagine, I thought, this is such a beautiful road, you know, up where the Hunt Cup is, like all that. And
Green,
I'm like,
Spring Avenue is just a great place. My old house backs up the caves. I mean, I enjoyed living there for the better part of a decade. It's a phenomenal area.
Just so beautiful this time of year. And my eyes have seen the beauty of Maryland this month. So yeah, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff, Confederate flags on people's lawn. I mean, I've seen it all. I've had rude people and wonderful people and friendly people. People are really friendly in the Eastern Shore and Western Maryland. Really, it's different. We went out walking in Cumberland, and a woman was walking her cat, and we wound up like having a conversation. We just talk to people in a different kind of way than maybe we do in the city. And there's a lot to be learned from that.
Yeah. I mean, now at my meeting in Dallas with a bunch of Ford dealers, a couple of the Ford reps, longtime Ford regional reps, said the nicest dealers are in West Virginia. Same thing you said, just they talk to you differently, they treat you differently. And I guess there's something about going a little bit west of us.
We were in, not Western Port, we were in a different town, and we needed gas. And there was a Royal Farms by Martinsburg, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So we were like 10 minutes away. I'm like, let's drive into West Virginia. Let's do it. You know, so we did.
Great town. Great town. I have many friends there.
Yeah. So we went in, got some gas and got out. I told Dan, we're not going to catch any West Virginia fish, are we? We need to catch some Maryland fish. That was more important to me, you know. Hey, Dan, I will see you on Thursday. We're inching closer to football. Dennis Kalatsos is here Thursday from 3 until 5. Also on Sunday mornings, getting you ready for what we hope will be a banner Ravens season. We'll continue to discuss that until such point where we see the offense at work. The Coons Ford text service is always there for the breaking news, the final cuts. I'm sure some guys will be coming in and off the roster. Luke and I have chatted about that. He'll be joining Dennis later on in the week. We got a lot of football this week. Mike Tenier coming on, Peter King coming on, as well as the governor and all residue of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And you can follow that at hashtag Crab Cake Tour. I'm Nestor. He's Dennis. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.